So we're here on Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, and we are towards the end of the Amud, and you'll see Rabbi Yochanan on the last line. Let's just review before we start the sugya for today some of the main points that we covered yesterday, and that is that we have machlokas between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, a very fundamental machlokas about the overlap of Malkus and Momon. According to Ula, the rule of thumb is you pay Momon and you don't get Malkus. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's just the reverse. You get Malkus and you don't pay Momon. There seem to be two cases in the Torah which support Ula, and those are the cases of Chovel, where he violates Pen Yosef, and let's say he had Asra, he would get Malkus, but instead of getting Malkus, the Torah says he has to pay the five categories of damage. We have another exception in the case of Edim Zomimim, where two witnesses testify against someone that he owes 200 zuz. These Edim turn out to be Edim Zomimim. And in such a case, the Edim, under the law of Kashrut Zomam, will pay 200 zuz, but they're alleviated from Malkus. So these are two proofs to support Ula. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to deal with those and set up exceptions to the rule. But Ula is going to take these two and set up a rule. Again, it doesn't mean that Ula can base his opinion on these two cases, because in each case there's a chumrah and there's a kula. For example, in the case of Edim Zomimim, there was no maisa, and yet the Torah punishes him. There's a kula in Edim Zomimim that you don't need asra. In the case of Chovel, we had a chumrah that the Torah imposed five penalties, which is unique to Chovel. On the other hand, we had a kula in the case of Chovel. And in each case, the Gemara says that you cannot come up with a definite binyan av. So that Ula has to be based on Gzeirah Shavah, which is called Tachas Tachas. And based on that, he's going to say that in the case of Baal Achoso, instead of giving him Malkus, he's going to pay the Knas. So that's Ula. Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to look for a source to undermine the limud the alfus of tachas tachas and establish that as a universal rule you get Malkus and you don't pay Mammon. Again, given a few exceptions to the rule, and he's going to have to deal with those exceptions to the rule. Now, it could be that Rabbi Yochanan has one advantage over Ula in explaining the Mishnah in Malkus. Ula, as we said, is going to have to do somersaults in the air in order to justify why in the Mishnah in Malkus, Baal Achoso, instead of paying Knas, he gets Malkus. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's very smooth, because that is the rule, in fact, that you get Malkus. Our Mishnah says you pay Knas. Okay, our Mishnah is a case where there was no Hasra. That's not a big deal. But the simple shot in the Mishnah in Malkus, that Baal Achoso gets Malkus, would certainly support Rabbi Yochanan. Even though Baal Achoso, at least in the case of Nara, would be Chayv Knas, but the answer is that the Malkus is going to substitute for the Knas. That's Rabbi Yochanan, right? Ula is going to have to say that no, the Mishnah is talking about a very strange case where it was a woman who does not collect. She doesn't collect Knas. You know, she's a Yisoma, and she doesn't, and it's a Mefuta, and she doesn't collect Boshe Subgam because she's a Shota or a Heresius and all that stuff.
All right. You start out trying to defend Ula by saying in Makorot she's a Bogeret, and then we find problems with that.
Right, if she's a Bogeret, but there's still Bosh Supagam, so we're going to have to say it's a Heresh. Anyway, the kids of the Mishnah in Marcus is a real headache for Ula. You know, that's why he called it somersaults in the air, in order to somehow land on his feet. Rabbi Yochanan would take it straightforward, because the Mishnah Makkos is just an application of the universal rule that when there's an overlap of Malkus and Momen, then you get Malkus. So that's the, I would say, the flagstaff, you know, support for Rabbi Yochanan is the Mishnah in Makkos. In our Mishnah, on the other hand, why is there no Malkus in Balachos? So the answer is there was no Asra. And if there's no Malkus, then you pay Momen, in this case you pay Knas. So that was the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Beis. And what we're going to have to ask according to Rabbi Yochanan is, what do we do in the cases of Chovel and Edim Zomimim? There are two cases in which the Torah says that you pay Momon and you don't get Malkus, which is the reverse of Rabbi Yochanan's rule. And in that case, we're going to have to come up with some sort of Yalfusa to establish these exceptions to the rule. That was the sugya that we had of Rav Ilo'a, which was the last sugya that we did yesterday, called Beferish Ribsa Torah Edim Zomim L'Tashlumin, or in the case of Chavola, Beferish Ribsa Torah Chovel V'Chaver L'Tashlumin. So you're going to have a special ribui for both of these that puts them in an exceptional category. In the case of Edim Zomimim, the Gemara says that there's an extra pasuk Yad B'Yad, and that's going to teach you that he pays Mamon. In the case of Chovel, there was an extra pasuk Kein Yinasein Bo, and that's going to teach you that he pays Mamon. So let's begin the sugya for today. V'Rabbi Yochanan, on the last line in Lamed Beis Amud Beis, my time alo Omar Ka'ula. In other words, there's something about the Gzeres Shava of Ula, tachas, that bothers Rabbi Yochanan. He's not willing to, you know, to buckle under this Gzeres Shava. And the first approach of the Gemara, we'll soon see a later approach which has to do with something called Mufne. Okay, we don't know what Mufne is, but we'll see that later. Is to say that Bitalta, this is what Rabbi Yochanan can't tolerate about Ula, Bitalta ervas achoscha lo segala. Now what that means is the following. The Torah says lo segala, which means the Torah is prohibiting achoso with a lav. And Rabbi Yochanan operates with the following premise, with the following principle. Whenever there's a lav in the Torah, there's got to be malchus. Now, in the case of achoso, let's assume she's a nara, then by definition, there's not going to be malchus. And why is that? Because the Torah says you pay knas. So then then Rabbi Yochanan is going to want to come up with a possibility that if the Torah says eras achoselo segala, there's got to be an onesh malchus for this lav. And according to Ula, there is no onesh malchus for this lav. And now we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks the following question now on Rabbi Yochanan. In the case of Chovel B'Chavero, why not apply the same objection? Chovel B'Chavero Nami Im Kain Bitalta Lo Yosef or Pen Yosef. What we mean is, here we have another lav in the Torah. In the case of Chovel B'Chavero, again, whether it's derived from Lo Yosef or Pen Yosef, we had a discussion about that a few days ago, but be that as it may, there's a lav in the Torah here. So Chovel B'Chaver violates this lav. He's got to get Malkus, but yet the Torah says that he doesn't get Malkus. In fact, he pays Liad Liad, he pays the Chamisha Dvarim. And furthermore, Ube'edim Zomim Enami, the Torah says that you get Malkus for perjuring yourself. In Kein Bitalta, you now have, because the Torah says that you pay Momen in the case of Sisim Lokasha Zoma, now you've completely undermined V'hoya Im Bin Hakos HaRosha, where the Torah says explicitly that if somebody purges himself, he gets Malchus.
Are these additional kashas of Rabbi Yochanan on Ula?
No, These are kashas on Rabbi Yochanan's question on Ula. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan rejected Ula for the following reason. He says, according to Ula, if a man has a relationship with his sister, let's assume she's a Nara, then he's not going to get Malkus for that lav. And the Torah says you violate the lav, you get Malkus. Rabbi Yochanan is very devoted to this position. He clings to this position that whenever there's a lav in the Torah, you got to get Malkus. And now, according to Ula, you violate the lav of Erevas Achos Halo Segal, and guess what? You don't get Malkus. Why? Because there's a Knas. Again, assuming she's a Nara. So the Gemara says, how can Rabbi Yochanan refute Ula because of this principle calls him Kein Vitalta? Vitalta means that you took a lav in the Torah and you removed Malchus from the violation of the lav. What's he going to do with the case of Chovet? There he violates a lav and the Torah says he pays five categories of payment. He doesn't get Malchus. In the case of Edim Zomimim, he violates a lav and yet he doesn't get Malchus. He pays Edim Zomimim. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan will have no choice in the cases of Edim Zomim Chovel other than to find some scenario, some situation in which there will be Malchus. Because again, Rabbi Yochanan says if there's a lav, there's got to be Malchus. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the scenarios in which you violate the lav and we're going to split them into two. In one case you pay Momon, in another case you get Malchus. That's called Efshar L'Kiyuma. So we have one principle that says Bitalta. In other words, you undermine the concept or the punishment for a lav, and that's Malchus. And on the other hand, we have a principle called Efshar L'Kiyuma. That means we have to find some scenario, some case in which that violation of the lav does generate Malchus. For example, the Gemara says, Ella, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to have to say? He has to backpedal over here and defend his position of Vitalta in the light of Edom Zomimim, and he's going to answer Efshal L'Kiyuma. I have a case in which he will get Malchus, and we will fulfill the Ben Hakos HaRosha principle, which says that we have to mete out Malchus in the case of Edom Zomimim. And that's going to be the case of Ben Grushim and Chalutz. We'll come back to this in just a minute. I just don't want to lose the logical trend. Chovel b'chaver nami ikol kiyuma shehiko hakosh ein b'shav pruta is achoso nami ikol kiyuma b'achoso bogeres. So basically, the Gemara is saying the following: we're going to prove logically that Rabbi Yochanan has no refutation against Ula. Why? Because if Rabbi Yochanan is going to apply the principle of Bitalta, and he's going to argue that according to Ula, in the case of Baal Achoso, instead of getting Malchus, he pays the Knas. Well, Rabbi Yochanan cannot maintain this position called Bitalta. Why? Because in two cases, he's going to have to say that we neutralize Bitalta because of Efshal Kiyuma. And if he's going to go, and if he has no choice, his back is against the wall, then the same thing will apply in the case of Achoso. Namely, we're going to have an Efshal Kiyuma. So let's go through the three Efshal Kiyumas. The first Efshal Kiyuma is Edim Zomimim, where he does get Malchus. And that's going to be a case of Ben Grusha Uben Chalutza. Right, so a man who's a Kohen is not allowed to marry neither a Grusha or a Chalutz. So if he goes ahead and marries such a woman and violates a law in the Torah, the child of that marriage is a Chol. He's completely excluded from Kahuna. And the Eidim now testify about a certain child that he's not a Kohen Kosher. He's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutz. Why? We were there at the time that his mother received a get, or again in the case of Chalitza, and we know that that moment of time was before this man, the father of this child, married this woman. So because of the chronological sequence of events, we can testify that this child is the product of a Grusha, and he's a Chol. Now two Eidim testify against him. You weren't there at the time of the Gerushin, because you were with us in Chicago, so you couldn't have possibly seen the Gerushin. That's called Hazama. What do we do with these Eidim? In this case, the Torah says, V'hoya in bin hakosa rosha, we're going to give Malchus to the Eidim. This is the first Mishnah in Masechta Malchus, the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Mishnah. And why are we going to give malchus? Because the violation of the lav of losana brachet shaker, and the Torah says vayim binakos harosha, he gets malchus binakos harosha. So that's called efshel kiyuma. It's true. Rabbi Yochanan knows very well, and he can't deny it, that in your classic case of Edom Zomim, there won't be malchus because there'll be a chi of mamon. Let's say, for example, the two witnesses testified against Reuven, they asked to pay 200 zuz to Shimon, and then they became Zomim. They have to pay 200 zuz to Reuven, vasisimo kasha Zomim, and there is no malchus. And that we derived from, if you recall, the apostle Keni Nosein Bo that we discussed yesterday. But in the case of a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, there will be Malkus, and there will be a kium of the violation of the law generating Malkus. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan, that you yourself have to backpedal here. You have no choice but to neutralize the Bitalta by saying, well, there are situations in which you get Malkus for the law. As long as we can find some situation in which you get Malkus for the law, there is no Bitalta. It doesn't mean that when the Torah prohibits you from a certain action, that every single time you violate that action, you get malchus. There may be situations in which you do get malchus, and other situations in which you don't. And in the case of losana b'yachad be'et shaker, if you're testifying falsely against someone in mamon, you will pay mamon, and you won't get malchus. But if you're testifying against him in terms of his personal status, in other words, you're testifying that he's a cholol and he's excluded from kuhuna, then if you become an eid zomem, you will get malchus. Same thing in chovah v'chaveira. Yochanan is going to have to admit that there are situations in which you get malchus for violating the law of Pen Yosef, and you don't pay chamisha dvarim. What's that? That's going to be the case of Hinko Hako She'ein Bo Shavu Pruto. Let's say if we calculate with a calculator all the chiyuvim of Nezek, Tzar, Ripush, Tzemek, and Boshes, the final calculation, the arithmetic addition, will still be less than one pruta. In such a case, the Torah says that you don't have to pay mamon that's less than a Shavu Pruto. It doesn't have a shear of mamon to it. What do we do in this case? The man was chovel bechavero. There's no chiv moment of nezek tzaripu shevus and boshes. He violated the law of Pen Yosef. He will get malchus. Now, if that be the case, then Rabbi Yochanan's reputation of Ula falls like a deck of cards. Because Achosa, what was his objection to Ula in the case of a man who violates the law of having relations with his sister Erbas Achos Chalo Segala? Then Ula is saying he doesn't get malchus because he pays a knas. Well, that's not bitalto because you have ikul kiyuma. The only time that we alleviate malchus in the case of Balachoso is if she's a nara, and therefore there's a knas. But Balachoso vogeres, she's past the age of 12 and a half, then in such a case there's no knas, and therefore you get malchus. Now I want to mention here the Pnei Yoshua. So let me just summarize. At this point, we're back to our original question. What did Rabbi Yochanan find objectionable in the Gzeirah Shav of Ula? The Tachas taught us that if there's a Chiyuv Mamon and a Chiyuv Malkus, then you give Malkus. I'm sorry, and then you pay Mamon and you don't get Malkus. And we saw that from the case of Chovel. And in the parash of Chovel, it says Ayin Tachas Ayin, etc., etc. And in the case of Ones, it says Tachas Asher Ino. So the Tachas teaches me that there's a rule that you pay Malkus. That you pay Mamon and you don't get Malkus. What did Rabbi Yochanan find objectionable? And that's why we're going to go to another approach here, an alternative approach as to why Rabbi Yochanan could not have accepted Ula. But in the first approach, we came to the conclusion that Rabbi Yochanan had a refutation of Ula, and we see that refutation cannot hold water. It cannot be maintained. His refutation was Bitalta, that you have a lav here of Baal Achosu without Malkus. The answer is there will be Malkus for Baal Achosu if she's a Bogeres. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to admit that as long as you have an Efshel Kiyuma, we don't apply the principle of Bitalta. He's going to have to apply that in the case of the lav of Losana Brachet Shaker, hence in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza get Malkus, and in the case of Pen Yosef for violating the lav of Chavola, the Torah is going to say that if it's a then you get malchus. So that's called efshel kiyuma. So you have no right to object against Ula and say, well, Ba'a Chosa, how can he pay Momon and not get Malkus because he violated a law? He's got to get Malkus. The answer is, there are scenarios in which we will give him Malkus, and that's going to be the case of Achoso Bulgaris.
Just one question. Just clarify that Ben Grusha and Chalutza, how that works, I'm not quite sure yet.
So two Adim testify
that
Aaron, I use that name because he's a Kohen, Aaron divorced his wife. No, let me start again. Forget about Aaron. Reuven divorced his wife.
Okay.
Then they testify that a day later, I don't mean that literally, Aaron married this woman. So we were there at the Gerushin when this woman, who Aaron, the Kohen, is marrying, received a get. And we know that she was a Grusha before the marriage of the Kohen, this Aaron, to this woman.
Okay.
Two Adim now come in and they say, you couldn't have been in New York to see the Gerushin. You were with us in Boston, right? So you couldn't have possibly have seen it. That's called Adim Zomerman. In this case, we're going to give the Adim Malchus.
Why is that?
And why is that? Because there's no Chiyuv Mamon here. Although, again, if we were learning the first Sugya Makis, we would have to go into detail because there are 24 Matnas Kahuna, which are very valuable. They keep the Kohanim afloat. Yeah. And as a result of the Eidus of the Zomamim, this Lil Yingel, you know, who was born to a father who's a Kohen, is going to lose the 24 Matnas Kahuna because he's a Cholol. So the issue is going to be, why don't we apply the principle of Vasisim Lokashizom and Lasos Liyav? So that has to do with a sugi called Grama bin Ezekim, meaning, if I make you pay something out of pocket, then we apply the principle of Vasisim Lokashizom. But if I prevent you from monetary zechuyot of gaming money, then there's no Vasisim Lokashizom. So basically, in the case of Cholol, all we have to do is deal with a case where the Edim are addressing something that is devoid of any monetary implications. And that's going to be Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And in such a case, the Torah went out of its way to say in Ben Hakos HaRosha that we give the Edim Zomim in Malkus. So we do have an Efshel Kiyuma as far as this Lav Lo Sana Brachet Shaka. Now again, you could ask a million and one questions. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't, for example, Edis and Kiddush HaFodesh. Let's say two Edim testified that we saw the Levana B'chidusha. And we were there on the corner of 9th and North Avenue. So comes two Edim and say, you couldn't have been there and no, I'm there because he was elsewhere. There also, Lechor, the Edim will get Malkus. Why didn't we have to quote the case of Ben Grusha B'chalutza? Because Kiddush HaFodesh has no monetary implications. Or what would be, for example, in a case where two Edim testified that Reuven ate Chazer? We saw him on the first of the month, you know, at 9 a.m. at the corner of so-and-so, that we saw him eat Chazer. And they add to boot, we gave Mahasra. So in such a case, Lechora, if they become Edim Zomer, they'll get Malkus. In other words, I'm just pointing out here that the issue I'm raising here is the Gemara could have quoted many different scenarios in which Edim Zomer get Malkus and we fulfilled the lav, you know, the lav of Losana Be'achet Shukr expresses itself in the Chiyuv Malkus.
Thank you.
Now, I just want to add one thing. Once you asked me, John, Ben, I think your question was about Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, was it not?
Yes.
So let me say a few words about Ben Chalutza. The truth is that on a Doraisa level, a Kohen is allowed to marry a Chalutza. The Isur Chalutza to a Kohen is only Durabonah. And now the question is, can you give the Edim Malkus when they were Edim Zomim who purged themselves on a Durabana level? On a Doraisa level, what they said about this child, that he was born to Aaron HaKohen, when this woman that Aaron HaKohen, the mother of this child, whom Aaron HaKohen was married to, was a Chalutza, right, from a previous marriage. In such a case, there is no chalolus on a deraisa level. That's called chalolus derabanan. So again, this, if we were learning the first parak of Makkos, we'd have a lot of fun with this. Because the question is, if the perjury was a violation on a deraisa level losane, but the implication of their edus is only derabanan, do they get malchus for losane? Do you follow what I'm saying? So that's a sugya unto it. But I wanted to mention to you the Pnei Yoshua, because that's more Afinart, so to speak. That's more related to our sugya here in Masechta Ksubos. He asks the following question. The Gemara says, Efshel Kiyuma, in the case of Achoso, when he violates their lav, there will be a case of Malkus because she's a Bogeres. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's not really true. Foul play. Because even if she is a Bogeres, that's not going to solve your problem. Why? Because we still have to deal with what's called Boshes Upagam. Now, even though Knas, the 50 shekel penalty, depends upon whether she's a Nara or a Bogeres, and the Torah specifies this particular, isolates this particular 6-month period of time of Narus for the Chiv Knas, but as far as Baal Achoso Bogeres is concerned, with regard to Boshes Upagam, that he would have to pay. Now, according to Ula, if he has to pay, then he doesn't get Malkus. Not only that, but even Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree to that, because we saw already in the case of Chovel B'Chavero that he doesn't get Malkus from Ben Yosef because he pays any of the five or all of the five Chiyuvei Mama. So in the case of Ogeres, says the Pnei Yoshua, you have to add a few words to this Gemara. That's a, you know, if I said such a thing, you would put me in Cheren, but the Pnei Yoshua could get away with it. And he says you have to assume that's Achoso Bogeres Shota Umefuta. In other words, all the somersaults in the air that we did for Ula in the sugya above, we're going to have to do now for this sugya over here. We're going to have to come up with a scenario where there's no Boshe Supagam, says the Pnei Yeshua, because if it's Achoso Bogeres Pikachas, in other words, if she's not a Shota, then he's Chayav Boshe Supagam. And we saw already in the case of Chovel V'Chavero that you pay Mamin and you don't get Malchus. And that's the Pnei Yoshua. So I found this very very cute, you know, that you have to add something to the Gemara. So now we're back to square one. Why does Rabbi Yochanan object to a beautiful Gzeira Shava of Tachas Tachas? Amulcha Rabbi Yochanan, there's a technical foul here as far as Gzeira Shava is concerned. And that has to do, Rabbi Osai, with a concept called mufne. Okay, we'll try to understand what mufne means. Hai tachas asher'ina mi boile lichadabaye. Exeris shava has to be mufne. The word mufne means it has to be free, so to speak. It has to be available. If it's not available, it means that I need that pasuk for something else, then that's not considered exeris shava. Says Rabbi Yochanan, based on Abaye. Now again, Abaye historically is way later than Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was first generation Amora, Abaye is third generation Amora, but it doesn't matter. We're talking about the concept of Abaye. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the concept of Abaye is that we need the Torah to tell us Tachas for another reason, entirely different reason. So let's try to understand what Abaye is all about and why we need the word Tachas. What I'm about to quote to you is the Sugya Daf Mem Amid Beis, which is 7 blot from here. Maybe we'll get to it in El, or maybe in Tishon. Anyway, so the Sugya wants to know the following. In the case of Ma'anes, there are 3 payments. There's payment of Knas, which is Chamishim Kesef. There's a payment of Boshes. And there's a payment of Pagam. That's in the case of Ones. We discussed the great length. And in the case of Pitui, you know, she gives up on her rights and so forth and so on. Oh. So the Gemara Daf Mem wants to ask the following question. How do you know that if a man rapes a woman, he has to pay Boshes Upagam? I have a logical reason to assume, at least in the case of a Nara, that he doesn't pay Boshes Upagam. The Torah says that he pays Chamishim Kesef. Perhaps the Chamishim Kesef is a package deal. It's all inclusive. Meaning, in a case of Chovel, we go through Nezek Tzar, Ripui Shevus, and Boshes. That's classic Chovel. But in this particular case, even though there is Chavolah, and therefore there should be a payment to Boshes Upagam, I'm going to argue, the devil's advocate, that there's no payment of Chavol over here. Why? Because the Torah says in this particular case, he pays a Knas, Chamishim Kesef. Maybe the Torah is saying that the Chamishim Kesef substitutes for all other Chiyuvei Chavolah. How do we know that the Chiyuvei Chavolah, in this case it's Boshes Upagam, apply as additional payments as a cherry on top to the knas. Maybe the knas is that's the Torah says, you know what, for this particular kavolah of a nara in a case of onus, the payment is not nezek tzar ripui shevus boshes, but rather the payment is chamishim kesa. And Abayi is now going to use the word tachas, as we'll see in a second, to derive the conclusion that chamishim kesef is an additional payment to boshes upagam. The classic chavola payments are set in stone, and that's boshes upagam. On top of that, the Torah says he pays knas. How do we know? So that's what we're going to. That's what we're going to see now. Right. Now we're going to see that inside. Now, in order to appreciate Abaye, I'm going to read to you the entire pasuk. The Gemara only quotes three words of the pasuk, and this pasuk is in Parshas Ki Teitze, and this is the parsha of Maades. V'nasan ha'ish ha'shochev imo la'vi anara chamishim kosef v'lo siel isha tachas hasher ino. Comes along Abaye and he says the following. Hi, this money which the Torah just mentioned at the beginning of the post, Chamishim Kesef, that's only Tachas Asher Ino. Meaning, the Torah, by adding Tachas Asher Ino, is limiting the payment to Chamishim Kesef and saying that for Tachas Asher Ino, you pay Chamishim Kesef. As if to say that there's something else for which you pay other payments, other additional fines. So the Tachas Asher Ino is telling you that the fine of Chamishim Kesef is only because of Ino. We'll explain what that means in a second. Michlal, there are other payments that have nothing to do with Ino that are additional payments. They remain set, as we said before, engraved in stone. And the Tachas Asher Ino is telling you that the Chamishim Kesef is for the Ina. The Ina is above and beyond Chavola. So we're saying the following. There is a payment for Chavola, and on top of that there's a payment for Ina, Inui. We'll explain what that means. And here you might want to look in Rashi. Rashi tells us...
Which Rashi?
Okay, which Rashi is it? Rashi Dim Maskel Khan. I'm trying to find the Rashi here. For some reason, I'm not finding it. Okay.
I see a Likadad Baye, and before that is an Ella.
Yeah, Ella... All right, so give me a minute. I don't want to lose the, you know, the impetus here, because I just want to explain... I just want to explain what Abaye is saying. Okay, then?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, here it is. Lichat Abaye. Lichat Abaye. So again, there's a mistake here in my print in the Masifta. He says to look for Rashi Dibra Maskel Khan. Well, there is no... The last word in the Rashi is Khan. Okay, whatever it is. Let's leave that out. But we're looking for Rashi Dibra Maskel Ula Abaye. Lichat Abaye. He says, "Bishili Pirkin." At the end of that parak, that's on Daf Memam in Beis. Parchinon. The Gemara raises the following question: "The Ema, shall we say Chamishim Omer Achmona Mikol Mili?" Meaning, encompasses all payments. There's one all-encompassing, all-inclusive payment, and that's Chamishim Kosef. Vishani Abai gives the answer: Chamishim Kesef Nischadu Tachas Knas Ha'Inui. In other words, with the Torah, I think the word nischachu in Rashi means additional. There's an additional payment which is called tachas asher ina. And that's the knas. The knas itself, because again, in the beginning of the pasuk it says, v'nasan, etc., etc., chamishim kosev. And what is that money earmarked for? Why is he paying this penalty of chamishim kosev? Tachas asher ina. Says Rashi, that's a chidush. And the Torah is now telling you, Tachas Asher Ino, you shouldn't think that this payment is for Chavola. This payment is for Inui. And that means for the suffering that she has as a result of the fact that she's no longer a Besula. You know, all that change in her status. But this is only an additional payment of Chamishim Kesef, which is called Tachas Asher Ino. In other words, the Torah is telling you what this Chamishim Kesem is for, and why is it important for the Torah to tell you that it's for X, in this case for Inui, because the Torah wants to tell you it's not coming to replace the payments that would have been for Y, or for Z, in this case for Boshe Supagan. So Rashi says, please underline these words, Shehu Bishar Chovlim. Those are the three words you want to underline in Rashi. Shehu Bishar Chovlim. Which means that Rashi is saying, this is not, Boshe Supagam is not the separate inui of this rape situation. Boshe Supagam is a Chavola situation, meaning because of the injury, I suffer Boshe Supagam. That's part of the injury, that's part of the assault, but the rape has that extra element of inui to it, in which she now is a nevacha, a woman who's been raped. You know, I don't want to go into detail here, but you can imagine what kind of inui she experiences as a result. So boshes supagam are payments that would have applied here in the case of Chavala, because again, you know, he's doing something to her that is an injury, he's assaulting her, but would have applied even if there wasn't the Inui here, even if it was just a classic Chavala. So Rashi conceptually is setting up an overlap of two circles, and they're both coexistent in the situation of Ma'anis. There's one circle that would have applied even if it wasn't an Ones, under all assault, under general Chavolim, Rashi calls it Shara Chavolim, and that would be Boshe Supagam. Now the Torah is saying, wait a minute, that's not enough. In addition to being a Chovel, he's a Ma'anis. And if he's a Ma'anis, there's Inui. And therefore the Torah says, V'nasan Chamishim Kosef Tachas Asher Ina. But it's earmarked for Tachas Asher Ina. So Rabbi Yochanan now has a problem with Ula. Why? Because we have a rule in Gzeres Shavah that you need what's called a Gzeres Shavah that is free. It's Mufna. Mufna means it wasn't used up for anything. You can't use a word in its context to teach you something important about the din itself, and then take that word out of its context and compare it to another word somewhere else in the Torah through Gzeres Shavah. That we can't do.
Is there liability for all five damages, or is it just because it's only mentioning?
Right. Well, is there? It could be. It could be that that's a difference between onus and mafata. There might be, in the case of mafata, there's no tsar. In the case of onus, maybe there is tsar.
Well, I'm just wondering if we're...
All that is going to be taken up by the sugya later. I mean, we're not up to Hilchas Chavol yet. You know, that we're going to get up to... Let's just finish this up. Fekta Gemara Vi Ula. Now, how could Ula use the Gzeres Shavah of Tachas Asherina, right? Tachas Tachas. Comparing, if you will, Ones to Chovel, and deriving the conclusion that just like in Chovel it says Tachas Ayin, right? Ayin, Tachas Ayin, etc., etc. That so too here you pay Mamon. So Ula says, Nafkali Midarava. The same exact question that the Gemara asks on Daf Mem, and Abai addresses that question, is addressed by Rava. Rava is going to have a different derivation to arrive at the same conclusion, that don't think that the Chamishim Kesef is an overall all-inclusive payment. There is an additional to the Chamishim Kesef, the payment of Boshe Supagam. Says Ula, he doesn't derive it from the word Tachas, but Rava derives it from a different pasuk. Amar Kra, V'nasan ha'ish ha'shochev ima. Yet here it would probably be kedai to have a chumash in front of us. You want to open up the chumash if you don't mind. This is Dvar Mechav Beis. That's chapter 22 in the book of Deuteronomy. 22.
I'm there in the chapter.
Okay, 29, pasuk 29. But let me see it if you don't mind, because I just want to see the previous context here, because otherwise what I'm about to say won't make any sense.
So around here.
Okay, great. Yeah. So it says the following. Now listen to this. It says in Pasuk Chaf Ches, which is not the Pasuk the Gemara is going to quote, it's the previous Pasuk. The various previous Pasuk describes the situation of a man who was shochav ima. Those are the two key words. And that's in Pasuk 28. We're going to learn now Pasuk 29. That's what the Gemara is going to quote. And it says, V'nasana ish, la via nara chamishim kesef. Is that what it says? Very good. You caught my mistake. But that was a deliberate mistake. Why? Because I wanted to show you pedagogically that this pasuk could be read beautifully without the additional words Hashokhev Imah. Because in pasuk 28, the previous pasuk, it says Vishakhav Imah. So all the Torah had to say was Vinasana Ish Lavia Nara Hamishim Kesef. Right? Because the Ish is mentioned in the previous pasuk, Shachav Imah. So we have two extra words in this pasuk, and that's Vishakhav Imah. Says Rava, why did the Torah have to add the words Shochev Imah followed by Chamishim Kosev? The Torah wants to tell us that the Chamishim Kosev is for the Shochev Imah. Don't think that the Chamishim Kosev is an all-inclusive payment, a fine, and that's it, period. No. This fine is earmarked for Shochev Imah. Otherwise, why did the Torah have to repeat the words Shochev Imah? The Torah is telling you that for that shchiva, he has to pay chamishim. Why did the Torah have to tell you that the chamishim is earmarked, or shall I say it's a penalty for hanoah shchiva? To tell you, michlal, don't think that this chamishim kesef is going to replace any other chiyuvim, meaning the chavala chiyuvim, michlal, and is implying the ikabosha supagam. So this is Ula. Ula now has what you call a gzerish of a mufna for one of two reasons. Either because he accepts Abaye. Rabbi Yochanan accepts Abaye, and therefore the gzerish of is not mufna. That's going to be the technical disqualification of the gzerish shava, meaning Rabbi Yochanan holds like Abaye, and we need the word tachas to add the boshes supagam. What about Ula? And the answer is, Ula is not going with Abaye, Ula is going with Rava. And therefore, he has a posuk HaShochev Imah to teach you that there's an additional payment to Boshes Subagam. He doesn't need the word Tachas to teach you that there's an additional payment to Boshes Subagam. Therefore, hence, Ula is going to use the posuk of Tachas for the Gzera Shava. And that's going to lead Ula to the conclusion that whenever there's an overlap between Mammon and Malkus, you pay Mammon and you don't get Malkus, based on the Gzera Shava. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have the freedom to accept this Gzeirah Shava, and the reason for that is because Rabbi Yochanan needs the word Tachas in order to derive the conclusion of Boshes and Pagam, because he holds like Abaye.
Isn't the requirement of Mufna generally a requirement for most Midrashei Halacha, not just Gzeirah Shava?
Well, in Gzeirah Shava, I think what you need is Mufna Mishnei Atzdodim. What does that mean? If I have a word that appears twice and I want to establish Gzeirah Shava, I have to prove that in both cases the word is extra. In a classical derivation of a Yalfusa, I have one pasuk, one extra word or one extra phrase, and I derive whatever I derive. It's either miyud or ribui, whatever it might be. What's unique about Gzeirah Shava is that there are two words in two different contexts. I mean, one could be Bracious Bar Elokim, and the other is Lieni Kol Yisrael, the end of the Torah.
And
so then I
need
Mufna Mishnah Tzadim. So that even if Ula is right, that in the case of Ayin Tachas Ayin, the word Tachas is Mufna, but that's not going to give you Gzeirah Shava to Tachas Asher Ino, because I need Tachas Asher Ino in order to derive the conclusion that you pay Boshes and Pagam.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now we go back to the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis. I don't mean that you should turn to that page. We're on Daf Lamed Gimel, and I'm very excited about that. Lamed Gimel, you should know, it's a very holy number in the mystical universe. In any event, so Einim Zomimim, according to the Rabbanon, and this we discussed on Daf Lamed Beis, have to pay in the case where they testified against someone they falsely testified against someone that he owes 200 zuz, and they don't get malchus. And the Gemara uses Ilah's principle. What was Ilah's? Rabbi Ilah's principle, and that was Beferish Ribsa Torah Eidim Zomimim L'Tashlumin. That the Torah went out of its way in the parasha of Eidim Zomimim to tell us that he pays Tashlumin, and that was the what was the pasuk Keni Nasin, right? Let me just get the pasuk so we have it down. Not Keni Nasin, sorry, but Yad B'Yad. Okay, you remember the more about Yad B'Yad. Dover Anitam Yad B'Yad. Now comes along Rabbi Eliezer, and he says the following. I have a different opinion. Eidim Zomimim, Mamona Meshalme, Umilkal Olaki, I don't need that extra pasuk yad liyad. I can prove it to you intuitively or logically based on the fact that Eidim Zomimim did not deserve Malkus. Now again, as a footnote, but I don't want this to confuse you, if Eidim Zomimim don't get Malkus, and they can't get Malkus, according to Rabbi Eliezer, then we're going to have a problem with Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. So again, that's a... Because again, then you come up with Bitalto. You remember, right? The answer to Bitalto, the antidote was Efshal Kiyuma, in the case of Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. But now Rabbi Eliezer is going to give us a fundamental reason why Adam Zom could not get Malkus, period. Period. So then what's the Efshal Kiyuma and what's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? That's a footnote that we're going to have to come to in Birz Hashem next week. But what we want to do today is try to understand why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no possibility of Malkus in the case of Edom Zom, hence he paid Mama. Mishum Dala B'nei Asronin. Malkus is always predicated on the Hasra. If there's no Hasra, there can't be Malkus. And in Eidim Zomimim, there cannot be a Hasra. And hence, there cannot be Malkus. Forget about Psukim. I don't need Psukim to prove that the Eidim paid the 200 Zuz. For sure they paid the 200 Zuz. Now, how many that they shouldn't pay the 200 Zuz because they get Malkus for violating the lava of Lo Sanav Reach? But this lava could never generate Malkus because Eidim Zomimim don't get Malkus, don't get Hasra. There's never Hasra of Eidim Zomimim. And the Gemara is going to pick this up later, and Rabbah is going to try to explain to us why does Rabbi Eliezer insist that there cannot be a Hasra in the case of Eidim Zomimim.
I can't figure out how there could possibly be Hasra.
Well, no.
Then we know.
If not for Rabbah, I would tell you why there would be Hasra. Because two Eidim come into Beis Din. Let's say in about 3 seconds they're going to start their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? We have 3 seconds. It's still what you call Toch Kidei She'elas Shalom of Shalom Alecha Rabbi Mo. Toch Kidei Dibur. So at that, because the Hasra has to be Toch Kidei Dibur Le'avir. So if not for Rabbah, which we're going to come to now, as to why Rabbi Eliezer insists that there cannot be Hasra in him, so why would have said the following? Let's warn him immediately before, the last second before he starts his blabbering and giving his testimony, that if you testify falsely, we're going to hit you with 39 marks. Says Abai, there's another reason why we can't give Hasra. Teda, Nisrube Emas. When are you going to give him the Hasra? Nisrube Meikara, you can't give him the Hasra a day or an hour before his Hasra. Before his Edus, Amri Ishtalayim. This is a principle that operates in Hasra in general, and that means that we forgot the Hasra. So Hasra has to be immediately. This always reminds me of the halach of Overlasiyasa. You know, let's say you're about to go into the mikveh, so there's a problem because you're going to be naked. How can you make the bracha on the tefillah? So why not make the bracha when you're wearing your clothes? And the answer is because the bracha has to always be Samoch Lasiyasa, right? I have 4 minim on the table. I'm not going to make the bracha on the tefillah sulam. I have to take them into my hands. But then once I take them into my hands, then I'll be nothing. So that's the whole sugya, right? So here also, Hasra has to be immediately the last second before he opens his mouth. Well, so now why don't we do that? Nisri Bahu Bishas Maisa. Here's where Rav is going to come up with a brand new idea. Because if not for Rav, I would have said exactly this. Nisri Bahu Bishas Maisa. Let's synchronize it so that immediately before they start their Eidus, we give Masra. We warn them, look, buddy, if you're plagiarizing yourself, we're going to give you 39 lashes. Lo Naim, as the Israelis say, right? So the Gemara says, this is Rav's Chiddush, Parshe Velo Mishadi. Sometimes if you scare someone too much, he's going to back off. Well, that's the entire purpose of Hasra. We want to get him to back off. You know, buddy, you're about to inchazer. You know, you're about to inchazer treif. Realize that you're going to get Malkus for that. So hopefully he'll get the message. But in the case of Eidim, we don't know that they're plagiarizing themselves, right? We want to cover all scenarios. So what are we going to do? We're going to give Masra. You know what he's going to do? Parshim lo masadei. What do I need? Why do I want to get involved in Edus when I'm going to get Malchus? Now again, for most people, I'm saying for the Edim Zomim case, they don't care about the Malchus so much because they're lying here. They made up this whole story. And they really want to get this guy killed. Or maybe they're getting paid by the mafia. Right, so they're not going to be so impressed by the Hasra. But it doesn't matter. We don't know that they're Edim Zomim. Right now they look like two yeshiva guys, you know, telling the truth. So this is a classic Edus. What's going to be if in every case of Edus, says Rava, we're going to have to give Masra before he opens his mouth and starts testifying? That's already going to scare away the Edim. Because, you know, why should I testify? I mean, in the West, for example, it's very difficult to get witnesses to come to the court. You know, you have to offer them $1 million. You know, why would I want to go? Who wants to testify? I don't want to get involved.
Also, they're taking a risk here because with Edom Zomim, the witnesses that come after. So if the mafia could go and pay second set of para witnesses to go and say that these guys are Edom Zomim, even though they were.
Correct. That's why I say anytime you give Edus, you're really putting your head on the chopping block, because there's always a possibility of somebody, like you say, paying off someone to testify against you, Imanu Ayisim. And imagine what that means to you. If Bezdin is going to accept the Edim Mazimim, the second pair of Edim, you might get killed for that. And that's every time Edim come into Bezdin, again, it depends on what the case is. If it's a cardinal sin, if it's a regular sin with Malchus, if it's a Mormon case. But imagine you're testifying about someone that he owes $1 million. Why do you want to get involved in such a thing? For the sake of honesty? Okay, honesty is a good policy, but not to put your life on the line here. Because if they're mazim you, you're going to have to pay $1 million. So we start giving you asra, mali v'letzarezu, I'm out of here. So then he says, nisrubu l'basov. So why don't we wait until after he gives the edus, and immediately following the edus, when he puts his last dot, his last period, we'll give him asra. Gemara says, nein, ma'idah ha'av. It's already done. It's too late to give Hasra. Hasra must come before the Avir. Moshe, if I can borrow your pencil for a minute, I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a good Shabbos. Parshas Baaloska. We should be zochah to the Neros and the Migdash. And we're going to start with Maskef Le'abai, B'li Neder on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph on Yom Rishon.
Yesterday's shiur will be posted. It was recorded.